Hey, didn't Parneet do a great job with the welcome?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, she did.
And I thought I was the only one that made bad decisions. But I bet everybody else thought the same thing. Well, let's go ahead and pray. Father God, thank you so much for this time that we're able to look into your word a little bit deeper. Bless this time that we have together. And we pray this in your son's name. Amen. So we're still on the theme of compassion. And the title of my sermon today is Christ-like Compassion. Let me ask you something. Do you see yourself as being compassionate? I mean, how do we live in a society of affluence, entitlement, and not lose our compassion? I mean, compared to most, I would think we have comfortable lives. I guess we probably think of ourselves probably as a mixed bag, right? In Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, it says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, greatness, and patience." You know, our culture has had a lot more dignity, I think, in the past than recently.
Yes.
People took a lot more care about, you know, how they presented themselves in public. When we carefully clothe ourselves, when we are getting ready for, like, say, a big event, our aim is to project our self-awareness, to acknowledge that this event is important. You know, Christopher, you know, and Parker went had their graduation ceremony recently, and it was great. I really had a great time, beautiful day, and I just remember all the girls wearing dresses and all the young men wearing at least slacks and a collared shirt. Christ-like compassion should move us to self-awareness. You know, Julia's sister, Sally, and her brother-in-law recently visited, and they have kind of like dietary issues. Sally and Phil have these religious convictions where they remain kosher, not to eat pork or shellfish. And my attitude was kind of like a quid pro quo. I would give you something, and if you gave me something in return, like in the case of bacon, right? I love bacon. And they drink coffee, and I stopped drinking coffee. So I figure, you know, well, you could drink coffee, and I don't know. Therefore, I will eat bacon in the household while you're here. Well, it turns out that their convictions, like many of my convictions, do run deep. And before leaving, and in so many words, Sally expressed her offense. And on occasions, not realizing it, we often offend each other. Mm-hmm. But that's, you know, family for you, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you could say that's biblical. Dysfunctional family. Amen. You know, with Christ-like compassion, there should be like no expectations of getting anything in return for our act of kindness. A quid pro quo. You know, compassion is selflessness. You know, clothing with Christ-like compassion is a thing for today. Now, I see Christ-like compassion is more of an empathy, where there is a raised level of understanding. Now, we have the heart of Jesus. If we have the heart of Jesus, we will desire to emulate his compassion. Jesus wore his compassion well, didn't he?
Yes.
His death on the cross was the greatest act of compassion humanity has ever experienced. So the bar has been raised really high for us. And even though Jesus' clothes were, you know, few and ripped to shreds at the end, he was dressed head to toe with compassion.
Yeah.
So here are five reasons why Christ-like compassion is important in each one of our lives. Point number one, Christ-like compassion reminds us to be grateful. In Luke 22, in the, you know, the Last Supper, in verse 20, it says, "In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is a new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you.'" And that means all of us. So go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 18, and we're going to go ahead and read verses 35 to 43. The blind beggar receives his sight. Luke 18, verses 35 to 43. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside, begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." He called out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord, I want to see," he replied. Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they praised God. I mean, have you ever seen people in these videos, those kind of compilations of hearing for the first time? It really moves my heart. And actually, there's a film of a person, and there's actually people out there who have never seen color. Have you heard these people who've never seen color? They just seen black and white. I have a short video I'd like to show to you here.
Smile, everyone.
Nothing pieced together in my head because my birthday wasn't for another couple weeks. I was like, "What? Like, is this for me?"
Guarantee
that these
will work. Better
soft team probably deserve a chance to try it. As soon as I saw them, I was like, "No freaking way." You know what it was? And he immediately broke down. And I was in tears. I could see everyone behind him was in tears. I was like, "Oh, okay." Like, what a gesture for them to coordinate, and there's more than 30 of them, like, and everybody's got busy lives, and it just, not only did they give me the glasses, which is a nice gift, but they all, like, banded together to do that for me, which was just pretty overwhelming.
We wanted to do it while the trees were still changing colors.
Fran's a really awesome person, and everyone on the team loves him and knew how much it would mean to him.
Look at us.
To give him that opportunity to see something that all of us see every day and take for granted almost, was really special.
Oh my God.
Leave them on. I remember there was this one yellow leaf on a tree, like, straight ahead of me, and as soon as I put them on, like, it just popped out. Like straight here, like it wasn't like a light brownish gray color, like it was yellow.
Was it the same?
Oh my God.
You stop. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
You know, I remember a while ago, there was a big movement about colorization of these old black and white classics, and a lot of people didn't want that to happen because they said you only see a movie for the first time once. But I love seeing the colorized pictures of, say, like the Civil War, King Tut's tomb. It really brings so much more depth in the photograph. And this student was given a new set of eyes. And I remember, you know, my slow recovery after my hiking accident and being grateful for each level of recovery that I reached. Then after a while, my gratitude would diminish until I got more what I wanted. So I would reach a level, I would get complacent, just having what I wanted, and I'd start having ingratitude. And having expectation and gratitude really thwarts compassion. You know, like our muscles, our gratitude is something that we need to exercise regularly.
Right.
It's easy to take things for granted. And point number two, Christ-like compassion is a way of spreading the good news.
Right.
Who would have thought?
That's right.
My first time at service, I'll never forget, was an Easter service. And I quickly saw that the people were really, truly in a fellowship. People were involved in each other's lives. And I was drawn to that. And because of the good company that I kept, I began to change for the whole world to see. John chapter 13, you could go ahead and turn there. John chapter 13, verse 2 to 17. We're going to go ahead and read Jesus washes his disciples' feet. So John 13, and we'll read from 2 to 17. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped the towels around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand." "So no," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part of me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." He knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one's other feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." So this story just of Jesus, it really inspires me to tell the good news. Why? "Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." Jesus knew that he was going to die and how he was going to die, yet he calmly taught his disciples a valuable lifelong lesson. You know, the forces evil are against them, just like they are against us. There is a betrayer in our midst, not so our midst, but in Jesus' midst, and Jesus knew it. He did not let the process of compassion be corrupted. Jesus is showing how it's done. To fulfill God's will, we need to show compassion.
Amen.
Compassion needs humility, and humility needs compassion. And point number three, Christ-like compassion is the way to please God. Let's go ahead and turn to John chapter 2. We're going to read from verse 1 to 11. Jesus changes water into wine. John chapter 2, verse 1 to 11. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there. And Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." So they did. And the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone bring out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. We are, all of us here, are the water that has turned into excellent wine because of others follow Jesus. Through our obedience, we have been given a new life, and that really pleases God. Now, I have heard it said that having children is a chance where you can, having children is your chance where you can get your childhood right by living through their eyes. You have a chance to perhaps to right the wrongs, to correct past mistakes. That's how God views our lives. Multitudes of people loving just the simple things of life and striving to be Christ-like. Seeing his son in each one of us brings him abundant joy.
Amen.
You know, in John 15, verse 11, it says, "I have told you this is what my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete."
Amen.
Point number four, Christ-like compassion takes the focus off self. You know, without Christ, you know, my inclination is set on evil all the time. And without Christ, I would be ignorant of the evil in my heart and in action. So let's go ahead and turn to chapter 9, verses 10. We're going to read from 10 to 13.
What book?
Luke chapter 9?
Okay.
Yeah. Verses 10 to 13. When the apostles returned, they reported to Jesus what they had done. Then he took them with him, and they withdrew by themselves to a town called Bethsaida. But the crowds learned about it and followed him. He welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed healing. Late in the afternoon, the 12 came to him and said, "Send the crowd away so they can go to the surrounding villages and countryside and find food and lodging, because we are in a remote place." He replied, "You give them something to eat." They answered, "We have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, unless we go and buy food for all this crowd." And there's about 500 men there. But he said to the disciples, "Have them sit down in groups of about 50 each." The disciples did so, and everyone sat down, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke them. Then he gave them to the disciples to distribute to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketful of broken pieces that were left over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, life is enhanced when we have compassion towards others.
Yes.
Here is having the disciples with Jesus in a compassion towards others moment. And the disciples are participating in this miracle. And what one would have thought impossible has become possible. An inward, insular life is not life to the full. And if you will never live life to the full without Christ-like compassion.
That's right.
Amen.
Point number five, the last final point, Christ-like compassion is the way we serve Jesus. So let's go ahead and turn to Matthew 25. I'm going to go ahead and read verses 31 to 46. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne, and all the nations will gather before him, and he will separate the people from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on the right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king replied, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those on the left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me." They also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?" He will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. You know, of all motives to serve, this is the highest. If you knew Jesus needed help, would you help him? Of course you would. You would help him. Well, he says here, we are helping him when we serve someone who is suffering, when we show compassion towards others.
Yep.
You know, my father, completed his engineering school because of his family. He often said, "If it wasn't for my mother, he would never have made it." I mean, we do not want to disappoint, even though sometimes we will, the ones who love us most. You know, for our Father and Heavenly Father does love each one of us, for he gave us his one and only Son. I'd like to just end this with a short scripture from Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold you with my righteous right hand." To God be the glory.
Amen.
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 Praise God.